welcome to another edition of the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I am Dougie Almeida. It's Tuesday, the 26th of January, 2021. I'm still writing 2020 on my checks. I'm joined here by two comedians and friends, Mr. Miles Weber, and Scott White, or Scotty White.
Hello.
You know, do you go
by Scott? You can go Scott. Okay. Yeah.
Because I recently somebody busted my balls a little bit because I'm a man in my 50s and like why you call yourself Dougie? You know, I'm like, what the fuck is my name? You know how what I call myself really bother you? Is this really like keeping you up at night, making you wonder why it is? You know, I'm wearing Chuck Taylors. You know what I mean? Purple Chuck Taylors. If you don't understand why they call me, I like to be called Dougie.
I think you should never give too much crap to any Italian where their first name ends with E. Like, because usually Vinny, Tony, Ed, like, these are all, like, don't give me crap. What are
Eddie.
You talking about? Yeah. Yeah, these are hard fellas.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many other things to be worrying about. Anyway, welcome to the show, guys. Miles, you and I met at the NoHo Comedy Festival. I think it was 2018 or 19.
Yes.
And it was one of those moments where, you know, it's great because I just went to LA a couple times as a comic. And then you watch all these people in the festival and this guy goes up. I'm like, oh, this fucking guy, you know, this guy's funny as shit. You know what I mean? And then you find, oh, he won Seattle Comedy, you know, whatever, San Francisco. Like, oh, this guy's doing shit. You know, he's just not some schmeg like me who's doing his own bookings and shit. You know what I mean? So it was hilarious, dude. Hilarious stuff.
Yeah, that was a fun festival, man. It was a good meet. Yeah, that was a good time. Sometimes the comedy festivals are hit or miss, but I think Jack was running a good one there.
It was great, and it's really nice when several hundred dispensaries are sponsoring the comedy festival.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. That's right, we got that big bag of goodies beforehand. Oh,
man, 100 milligrams, those frosted flakes, the Fruity Pebbles. Dude,
oh, yeah.
Scott, Fruity Pebble was like a brick. It was the best edible I ever eaten. And you know what? I forgot. I shouldn't have eaten the whole thing after smoking weed all night. And I was dreaming all kinds of things, man. It was beautiful. So that was a fun time. And Scott, you and I worked at I believe we shared the Tulsa, Oklahoma condo for the loony bin.
That is correct. Yes. I had to come in. Something happened. I came in at the last minute. The original headliner fell out or something like that, and you actually had to cover on Wednesday night, and I came in and yeah. I came in and finished the week. So yeah, it was a serendipity that we met.
Yeah,
because I originally wasn't supposed to be there with you.
Yeah, because honestly, before we met, I'm sitting there going, why did you gotta bring this fucking guy in? I'm fine, I could do the weekend. That's but worked out. And it was an interesting, you may not know this, Miles, but interesting fact about Scott. If you ever spent time with Scott, And I like these things. I always find them funny. You know, I'm very an observant kind of person. You know what I mean? Mm. And I let him
I know what you're going to say.
Yeah.
I don't.
Is it about the cupboards?
Yeah. I mean, funny because it was like one of those moments where you're like, ah, this guy's awesome. Because sometimes I'm very open and vocal. And I do it about myself. My wife says, shut up. You keep telling people about your own shit. I'm like, I know. I got to shut up. But If you've ever worked at the Tulsa Loony Bin, they're in a house. It's not a shitty place. It's a nice place, but it's a very tight kitchen. And Scott has the habit of leaving the cabinets open in the kitchen. Like, you know what I mean? Like when you walk into the kitchen, everything's open. Fucking drawers, the cabinets.
It looks like the place has just been ransacked. It's like, have we been robbed? Because all the doors and all the drawers are open.
Exactly. It's like,
and I'm just sitting there at the table eating. I know I was. Just,
I'm like,
or like an earthquake hit or something and just shook everything loose and open. Just like, I don't know. I've been sitting here just vibrating this whole time.
Well, it's one of those, I live alone, so it's one of those things you don't really notice. And then he points it out, and then I came home, and like a week later, I'm like, dude, you're totally right. All my cabinet doors are open right now.
I'm glad I could be of help because some people can't handle that kind of information. No, all of a sudden they get inside of themselves and like, oh, what are you trying to tell me? I don't know what I'm doing. Or I'm like, dude, I'm just telling you, leave the fucking cabinets open. I don't know where I'm not going to source it down to some sort of part of your persona, you know, that I'm going to attack right now and judge.
I didn't hate my mother.
I thought that was funny, man. And I'm actually going to do their runs coming up in February, going to be half of February on the road. You guys been working? You guys been out there?
Oh God, sparingly. Last year, went out a handful of times and did some socially distanced gigs and what have you. So yeah, I'll go out and do those when I can. It's just a weird. It's just so different. Yeah. Like, because all the COVID stuff, I just stay outside until it's time for me to go on and do my set and leave. Like, yeah, I've been being extra careful and everything like that. So yeah, it's been weird, but they've been happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, when we first came out of it last year, I actually had a bunch of work, and then at the end of the year, not so much. And then my January's, it's picking up. Actually, next week I'll be in your neck of the. I'm doing Porky's next week.
Yeah, fun room.
The first weekend in February, so I'll be down in Florida.
Florida's open, baby. All the comics are coming here. Everybody's coming here.
Everything's open here in Texas too. Yeah. All the comics are coming here too. So I've been lucky. Doing a lot of local gigs.
Good. Yeah.
Maybe not paying as much, but you're out there, you're working, you know, some money's coming in. Somebody, we got a lot of great, you know, promoters and bookers of local shows down here in Texas, Houston especially.
Is Texas having concerts too? Because I know Florida doesn't give a damn. Like, Florida's doing festivals, concerts. Like, Florida's doing everything. Is Texas?
I haven't heard of any concerts here. I haven't heard of any concerts here in Texas.
By the way, I just entered a leapfrog contest that we're going to have here in Florida. Like 1,000 people are going to do a leapfrog contest.
That's COVID safe because, I mean, your backs are you're back against each other. Like, I mean, you're not facing.
Yeah,
and but can't you get COVID through farts? Wasn't that one of the things?
Well, I guess
you can get COVID through.
I don't know about, but if they do and you have it, you won't be able to tell, you know, because you can't smell it. You know, like, hey, nice cologne.
I think the pink eye would set in before the COVID did.
Yeah.
Well, the funny thing was the moment I walked into the condo, Dougie was like, I had COVID, but I'm over it. I got the antibodies, so don't worry. That was the first words out of his mouth.
I wanted you to feel comfortable, man. You know what I mean? Because listen, when I'm in a comedy condo, I occupy that living room. You know,
he spent 90% of that in the living room,
right in front of the TV. So I'm not going to sit in my room with that bed. You know, the feature room, man. The feature room is not so featureable. But it's quaint. So we take up the space. Yeah, no, listen, that was my antibody comedy tour. I had like 90 days that I didn't have to worry about people sneezing on me and shit. And, hey, you know, it's been great. Some things in the news, how about the Bernie Sanders meme? This is the funniest fucking thing. Like, you know, certain things are like, oh, enough already, but I can still take it. Like the last one I saw that made me laugh, I hadn't seen. Right, because you have the repeats, you're like, all right, you're old news, you're hack. And then you got I saw the one where he was on Michael Pence's head. He was the fly.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I was, you know what I mean?
They're so funny. I love them. I think they're great. Like, I know some people at comics have been getting sick of them. They're just like, I get it. And I'm just like, it's the end of the world. Let people have fun. Like, put Bernie on everything. Let's do it. Yeah. Like, my wife made like 10 from our personal pictures and shit. I'm just like, we're on vacation. I'm like, there's Bernie. Like, it's just for us.
Yeah, that's great. It is funny. It's like the modern day Where's Waldo. Kind of thing.
That's what I was saying someone needs to do, like put him in the Waldo landscape and just be like, can you find Bernie?
Yeah, it's going to be like, what was it, the 80s or 90s when you used to look at those pictures that were all weird colored and you're like, you got to stare
at magic eye.
Yeah, and then you're just sitting there like,
relax your eyes and you'll see Bernie.
I don't fucking see it. I don't fucking see
I never saw anything I was supposed to see. I stare. It's like, I don't see the ship. I don't see the building. I never saw the magic eye.
I always felt like they were just messing with us. Like, you don't see it? I'm like, no, man. I don't see a knight with a sword. What are you talking about?
I always thought they were pranking us, too. I never saw it. And they make you do stupid shit. They're like, well, no, cross your eyes and then uncross them, like, real fast.
Cover one eye
take your pants off. Like, what?
No, I think you got to cheat on your wife, then you can see it. I think that's probably that's right. My friend did that. He saw it,
dude.
It's guilt. Yeah. You got to have guilt, or else you won't see the picture. Fuck your neighbor's wife, and then come on back, and then you'll see the boat.
Yeah, that's all you need. You just need to sin, my son. Taste the blood of the spawn. Yeah, dude, that was crazy shit. You think about when you talk about the pants, and I just spoke to an old college friend of mine. We played soccer at Nova University. It's a beautiful school now, but back in the day, it was a piece of. I mean, I go there for the alumni games. And I'm like, wow, I wish we had these types of facilities at our college. But nevertheless, we had a doctor, supposed doctor. And this guy was weird. You know, it's when you think back, you started hearing these stories about doctors doing weird shit. You know, it's like the old joke. You get in a prostate exam and like you look back, doc, is there any reason why you got both hands on my shoulders? old joke. But, you know, I remember having back spasms. This is before I had back surgery years ago, but I had back spasms. Well, he goes, take your pants, lay down, and get naked, and lay on the bed, lay sideways, you know, and like, was he looking at the lime in my back? I'm like, it took years later, I realized that I was molested. I'm kidding. I don't want to play with it. But, you know, I went through that. I'm like, what the fuck is this guy is obviously not a really good doctor. He's no Dr. Fauci. Let me tell you that. This guy is no Dr. Fauci. Any rate, Bernie Sanders memes were hilarious. The big news is anybody a teacher, know a teacher, married to a teacher? I like to usually cover that before I get into
my godmother is a teacher.
Yeah.
I have friends who are teachers. Okay. Yes.
I love people who instruct that teach, you know, I used to teach martial arts. I used to, you know, I mentored for the Boys Club. I think it's a great thing, but it's very hard to teach teachers anything. You know what I mean? You know, there's certain concept, like I give advice all my life for money. So sometimes teachers spend their days teaching and edifying. And so when you meet them, they're like, they don't know how to turn it on. They're just like the whole time you're in a car. So, but anyway, they don't want to go to work. They're certain they don't want to go. I don't feel like I should go to work if I don't want to. I want to keep getting unemployment. You guys have kids?
No, I don't have any kids.
No.
Got the two dogs. It's not the same thing, but I mean, they're small creatures that I'm responsible for their lives.
Yeah, and the vets are working. Yeah, the vets are working.
The vets are.
If your dog gets sick, your dogs ever eat weed?
No, I've kept the weed away from them.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. So yeah, they've been fine on that front. I think they got a little secondhand though a couple of times because they got pretty sleepy. That was fun.
Yeah, my Jack Russell ate half a joint once by mistake. It was hilarious.
Goodness.
Yeah, dude, we was stumbling all over the house, and you know, and then of course you take him to the vet. What happened? Like, well, I think you ate my friend's weed. you know, not mine, of course. But I don't know. What do you think, fellas? I mean, we talk about it, our industry, like how our industry is, how we're not working as comics, and the pay and stuff. If you can go to work, you know, you can go to work.
Ours is a little different than teachers, though.
Oh well, I don't know.
I just think the teachers, man, it's already, because I mean, when this pandemic went down and everything, it's as with everything, it was on the teachers to get their own supplies, make sure things were taken care of on the setup and everything. They had to fight to get. I don't know that everybody got laptops. I know there was a thing in the beginning where they were really fighting to try and get like the school system to send them laptops because they already got to front everything else out. But
right.
the distance learning online has just been a nightmare for every parent I've talked to. So teachers, it's just like, here's 30 kids online and get them to focus and try and decipher which ones are screensavers frozen like this that
right.
they just took a picture of.
Well,
I get them not wanting to work.
Well, I it would be like us too, trying to do a Zoom comedy show in front of 100 people on a screen, trying to get each one of them to, you know what I mean? But that's a whole different aspect, you know, when it comes to kids, you know, and what they'll listen to, you know, it's just rough. The kids, listen, we're going to have a generation of fucking idiots. You know, we're going to have kids that are just, you know what I mean? It's if things happen, like when you're 8 years old, 9 years old, 12 years old, and you lose that growth as a child, you know, the aspects, that's hard, man. You know what I mean? That's real effective. And that's going to be a big thing. So, you know, if you're worried, don't go to work. You know, say that you're that concerned about it. But if not, you know, keep your distance. I mean, if we were going to go do a comedy show and everybody was spread out and we just came through the back, we got on stage and we got off the fuck stage, we could do our job. You know what I mean? If everybody else is distanced. So that's why they say the kids are, and it's a horrible subject. Speaking of COVID, Dave Chappelle catches COVID. You hear about that? Interesting photo with him with Elon Musk, right? Joe Rogan. Donnell Rawlings. There's a lot of people on that photo, and nobody had a mask. And, you know, have any of you guys had it? I've had it, obviously, you mentioned. No.
I didn't have it, no.
No, and I've done shows where if I didn't get COVID from that show, I ain't gonna get it because there's no social distancing, no masks, nobody cares. Like you said, Florida doesn't give a shit. Texas is right behind Florida and not giving it a shit.
Yeah,
everybody was breathing on each other, and I have so. And maybe it's a bad thing to have. You sort of get a sense of invulnerability. Like I've been walking through all this shit and nothing's happened to me. But I don't know.
I wear the mask whenever I can, dude, especially when I'm out.
Yeah, I do whenever I can.
Yeah, yeah.
But
it's rough though when you have it. But they were blaming Elon Musk. We have an interesting story today about being blamed, Elon Musk being blamed.
He's getting blamed for a lot of stuff recently, though. Because didn't what was the celebrity who blamed him because her cat died in her Tesla?
Yeah, that's on one of our stories.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, we'll get to that. Yeah, he's getting blamed for everything.
Yeah,
that was so dumb.
Forget about it.
That's called it's called a teaser. You fucked up the teaser.
So much for reading the outline. I was saving that with my big story at the end.
That was that was our closer.
We just fucked up the closer. I'm sorry.
We fucked up the closer.
It was a rookie mistake.
Now we got to do crowd work. Let's finish the show.
Let's do a little improv on that. What was the time you fucked up a joke the worst? You know what I mean? You ever have that moment where you just, you know, recently, how do you handle
it? I did a callback to a joke that I didn't do. I've done that. It's like, and blah, 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 and nobody laughed. And then I realized I didn't do the joke. I didn't do the original joke. So I've done a callback to a joke that I didn't do in my set and got nothing. Yeah.
I forgot if I had done a bit already. And like, it was very obvious. I was like drawing a little blank and having a brain fart on stage. So I just did 5 minutes on if I did the joke or not already. I just talked it out to them. I'm like, so here's why this is really bad if I did this joke of a while ago. And then I just talked it out.
That'd be funny,
and
though.
So, and apparently I didn't do it earlier. And I was just like, well, this will just be for us. I'm just going to look like an idiot in front of all you people.
It's how we handle it, right? It's how you handle it. As somebody once, one of my mentors says, it's how polished you are, right? Dealing with the circumstance. And I think that'd be funny as shit because I think the audience has seized the reality of that moment, right? Instead of just going, oh, I'm not going to tell you the joke, you know? I've seen people do that. We're like, oh, I'm not going to tell you the joke. And like, oh, you want me to? All right. Nah, I can't tell you. And they just did that for like fucking 2 minutes and then told the joke. But I thought that must have been funny, right? Because the people were probably sitting there going, what's he doing? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it worked out nice. I feel like when the audience can tell that you're being reluctantly honest, yeah. They're just all about it.
They're cool with it.
I think the audience likes a peek behind the curtain every once in a while. This is how it works. It's like, hey, I fucked up. And this is how I fucked up. And this is how I'm correcting it. So, and yeah.
Own it.
It's not like when Trump would mispronounce a word and then like pretend he didn't. It would be.
Yeah, it doesn't go over like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
and we're going to the institution intelligence as well. It's like, no, you messed this. Admit that you messed up and don't try to. Yeah. Don't try to tailspin your way out of it.
I said that to one of my fellow Republicans because I posted something on Facebook a few weeks ago that ruffled a bunch of my Republican friends. And I'm like, look, man, I, of my character, you know, I come from the elk that I own up. You know, on the soccer field, you would do something wrong. You go, my bad, bro, my bad, right? You would own up and you'd move on and you'd grow. You know what I mean? The old saying, you know, as a fighter, when you get knocked out, you know, you don't blame the other guy for hitting you. You know what I mean? You get up. So accept it, right? And by the way, we do have
a story,
by the way, of Biden who, not Biden, people not saying the right thing, of Chuck Schumer.
Yeah.
What the fuck? I mean, you know, that's with all that saying, it's like lighten up on what I say. It's almost like on Facebook, you know, I'm doing voice text a lot. So people are like, oh, you mean this or that? I go, dude, I'm doing voice text, man. You know what I mean? I'm actually trying to engage with you, and you're going to judge my grammar on a social media post. I don't know. A little too much for me. I forgot where the hell I was going, but comedians hating comics who perform live. Jonathan Gregory, from these fucking crazy dude. I love that guy. He had a guy basically wish death on him because he was touring around with friends and working, and he was supposedly endangering the lives of so many people and things like that. You know what I mean? By the way, speaking of gigs, dude, Miles, what a gig. Didn't you just announce get Brad Garrett's room this coming weekend?
Oh, yeah. I'm doing Brad Garrett's Comedy Club here in Las Vegas, where I live. And they're all socially distanced. I think they're capping the audiences at like 50 people. And then the seating starts like 15, 20 feet away from the stage and everything. And so so that's the hard thing, though, with like these comics that are shitting on those that are working and doing gigs and everything. It seems to be the comics who aren't getting booked. Right. That are the most aggravated about it. But also they don't know, like, the giving your buddy shit. It's like, yeah, but you don't know the protocols that the venue was taking during, before and after the shows. You don't know what protocols he's taking with his friends and everything like that. Because, I mean, we were talking about it earlier. When I've been doing these live shows, I mask up the entire time unless I'm on stage. I stay outside of the building usually until it's my time to go up more times than not. So it's like there's things that we could do in between to try and work. But, I mean, most of the comics also probably aren't working because they necessarily want to. It's probably because they have to, you know?
Yeah. It's like you're in the green room having yodeling contests.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, I love the work. And I want to work. And if I have a chance to work, I'm going to work. And, you know, we're at social distancing with the masks. Do what you got to do to make it safe. But I can't not work.
Yeah.
If given the chance to work.
Exactly. Everybody you should consider yourself to be responsible. You know what I mean? Like I said, I'm on the road. I'm about to get on an elevator. A family of four get off the elevator. None of them had masks. Guess what? I didn't get on the elevator. You know what I mean? You know, people just chill out a little bit. How crazy is this industry leading into this? Like, this is a crazy business. Like, people ask me, how come comics commit suicide a lot? How come? I'm like, well, in my 13 years of doing it, I can understand. You know what I mean? I can see where this industry and this business can tear and pull at your every being because of what we're trying to do, right? What we're trying to become. Like now, you mentioned with COVID, you know, one of the things I took on, like, that's actually you and I were talking about that, Scott, when we were working together in Tulsa. You know, I was fortunate because I had it. So I had those 90 days where I didn't worry about anything. So I was going to be on. I was going to keep my dates. I'm glad they had the dates, right? You know what I'm saying? I'm going to just keep working, you know that eventually that there's going to be less rooms. There's less rooms. There's less stage time, which means there's a higher demand. So the good stuff floats to the top, right? So it's almost like a calling. Like, hey, you know, if I was trying to headline, I'm going to definitely be featuring, and I should be glad I'm featuring. You know what I mean? Know the moment, you know, just try to deal with the moment, right?
Well, there was that comedy purge at the end of the 80s into the 90s. Like, the 80s was just booming for stand-up. And then once, you know, and then it took a downslide, clubs started to close. And as you said, the cream rose to the top. The people who could do it kept doing it. And then the people who were just, you know, on the fringes, but there was so much work,
right,
that that you could support you could be a shitty comic and still support yourself as a comic because there was just so much work out there.
Yeah, that's
and
interesting.
A lot of people didn't care, which, you know, so it sort of came back on itself. A lot of people didn't care about the poor quality of the comics they were putting on the stage. People stopped coming because of the poor comedy, and then that's why a lot of clubs died. So it's just like clean. It's the circle of life sort of thing.
Yeah. Are you going to start singing now?
In the world of comedy.
Are you going to start singing some fucking Lion King? What are you going to break out?
I've never seen the movie.
Yeah.
Live or cartoon.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's impressive. Yeah. You should get a t-shirt and wear it that says, I never saw the Lion King.
I never saw the Lion King.
Yeah. That's impressive, that is, man. Yeah.
I actually saw
it on the back. Just fuck you, Simba.
I am. I am the. I am your antithesis because I saw it in a movie. I saw it in New York, Broadway. Fell asleep, mind you. The only time I slept harder was when I went to see David Spade in Vegas once. But I'll give you a story. I had a bunch of tequila shots. It was my wedding night. So And I saw the remake of The Lion King, which was all computer imaged and shit. My wife was watching it, and I couldn't walk
away.
Same
movie. It's the same movie.
Yeah, and some of the voices, you know what I mean? I want to do some voice work, so I'm at that bitter part where I hear other people like, yeah. I could be a better fucking aardvark. You know what I mean? I could be a better aardvark than that fucking idiot. You know what I mean?
That's what you want to get into, is voice work.
Yeah.
That's where the money is at, and it couldn't be simpler to do.
And it's also it's a COVID-proof industry.
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
But I have a couple of friends who used to be comics that went, well, before the pandemic, were just doing voice work exclusively.
Yeah.
And you're not on the road that much. The only time you go on the road is go to conventions where people, they're just groveling at your feet because they love what you do. It's like, yeah, that's the thing to do.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. I like people groveling at my feet. I think
that's what your producer Chris has to do. He's got that voice.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought there was an interesting little talk about little battles in the industry. Did you see the thing between Kevin Durant and Charles Barkley? Did you see that in the news? I love Charles Barkley. How can you not love Charles Barkley? But he actually got a little controversial a couple weeks ago when he said that NBA athletes should get COVID shots, should get the vaccines before even older people, which pissed off a lot of people because that's an elitist, you know, so the more money you make or the more it actually dictates or predicates whether or not you can protect yourself. And he got in trouble for
that. You mean how the world works?
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, you always wonder, though, if somebody says something out of error, like we were talking about earlier, people just say stupid things, or they say it out of malice, meaning, you know, they're actually intention. They are evil, so it's coming out as evil. You know what I mean? Like malicious or some sort of intent to it. But I would love to see Charles Barkley and Durant fight. Who do you think would win in a fight?
Durant.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Barkley.
Really?
Barkley.
But he's got such a big noggin. That's such an easy target.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
Yeah, but Durant's as big as this lamp. You know, that's... I mean, if Barkley got running and ran into him, I think he could snap him in half.
I don't know that Barkley could still run. He's probably got bad hips.
I don't know if it's much of a fight if you're running. Okay, that's not a fight. That's somebody being fucking chased.
This isn't Space Jam, Charles Barkley.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, this isn't Space Jam.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it'd be interesting. I've seen, you know, again, as a fighter, I've seen people, like especially older people that I saw one time, guys, maybe in his early 60s, martial arts. I've known this guy for years. One of those people, you just look at his hands, you go, holy shit, that hand looks like, you know what I mean? You could just tell, big old ham hocks. And some young guy said something to him, and he bitch slapped the guy, and I thought he was going to rip his head off. Because he called him an old man because this young lady was hanging out who's just a friend, you know, family, you know, this and that. The guy was an asshole, and he just bitch slapped this guy. Go, oh, fuck. You know, and it was embarrassing.
I think the best thing is if you don't want to take any crap from anybody, you just got to learn how to throw a really solid leg kick. Like, I think anybody who's getting into a street fight, as soon as someone throws a good leg kick, that fight's over. Because now this person knows so many things that you don't. And once kicks happen, I'm not even playing anymore.
See,
because my wife was an amateur kickboxer and did MMA, and she works with fighters now in her job and everything. And so I would spar with her sometimes to help her for fights and all that. And one time we did kicks, and she got me in the leg, and I was like, "We're never kicking, ever. I am not going to feel that ever again in my life. That was terrible.
I could tell you there's a reason I like you, kid, because I don't know if you know this, but I'm a ex Muay Thai kickboxer and martial artist and stuff. So I had 10 fights. And there's one that memory came up on Facebook. It was like a pro-am fight, and I broke the guy's leg in 12 seconds with a leg kick.
There it is. Yeah.
You're right, buddy. Nothing worse than just clipping somebody's trunk and watching them tumble to the ground.
Well, from what I know nothing about fighting, but from what I've heard is you want to go for the kneecap. If you bust a guy's kneecap, if he can't walk, he can't fight.
Yeah, if he can't walk, there's definitely that alarm of like, okay, you broke me. That's not good. But there's if you've ever seen the look on someone's face when they get dead legged,
yeah,
so worth it.
Yeah,
so worth it, because it's just like they're like, no, this is how I walk, and their leg is like, not anymore. You don't.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I love that look, and because that's the look when I'd fight a guy 6'3" when he get a leg kick and he's all happy and dancing around, thinks he's fighting a little chubbo boy. And then he gets that leg kick and he goes, oh, I got to get
fear of God just shines in their eyes like, no,
you're right. That good old leg kick. So everybody practice your leg kick, go out and kick your palm tree, your oak tree, whatever you got at home. Just go and kick the shit out of it.
That's how Conor McGregor got knocked out this past weekend.
Yeah, I didn't.
Dustin Poirier chopped down his leg and then knocked him out.
I didn't get to see that fight, but he's done. He lost the eye of the tiger. That's when, you can't be out of fight and make all that money and have your own liquor and shit and then come back and try to go on there and beat the shit out of somebody. It's definitely a taming moment.
Mm-hmm.
You ever get into a fight, Scott? Any real fist fights?
I've actually never been in a real fist fight in my life.
Wow.
52, never been in a real fight.
But that's okay, because you carry that because you've actually never seen The Lion King. So
I did, yes.
Like you're about to give your man card away, but then you get it right back.
Get it right back.
There you go. Super Bowl predictions, gentlemen. Any Super Bowl predictions?
Oh, Chiefs.
Yeah.
Chiefs.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like I don't have a dog. I wanted Rodgers to go. I wanted Rodgers to get another one.
I like Rodgers.
I wanted the Bills to go or the Browns. I'm an underdog guy, man. Yeah. As soon as the Bills and the Browns were in it, I'm like, let them have it. Yeah. Like Brady doesn't need another one.
And what sucks is if you're an underdog guy, you got to go with Tom Brady. What kind of world do we live in? Well, if you got to go for Tom Brady as the underdog, that's what the Super Bowl is.
Well, let me tell you something. I'm not a Patriots fan. I hate the Patriots, cheating bastards, deflate. We live in Florida. So since he plays for Tampa, right? Mm-hmm. I like Green Bay. I like Aaron Rodgers. Great, So I'm like, I got to root for Florida. I'm going to go with and I'm going to go because we had him on the show. I mentioned him last week on the show. I give him Brady the Go Fuck Yourself Award because. He left the Patriots. Everybody thought, and then he went to a decent team, got some good work, and then, and now he's in the Super Bowl, and everybody's Bill Belichick didn't make the playoffs. And, and that looks great. When it's almost like when a comedy club tells you, don't ever fucking come here again. Next thing you know, you're working in a nicer comedy club right down the street, and you're like, I don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? I don't know if that ever happens, but I'm trying to make an analogy, fellas. You're looking at me like every booker in the world's watching you to watch your response.
Might be.
Yeah.
Well. My question about the football, though, is how much do you guys count this season? Because, I mean, to me, it's like half the players got COVID at some point and games were moved or some starters couldn't start. And so I'm like, how fair is this season? Because so much was in limbo and getting shifted around with all the COVID stuff. So do you guys think it counts as much as other seasons?
Scott?
I think it counts more because they had to jump through more hoops to get things done. They got all the games in. We're going to have the Super Bowl. They weren't in a bubble like the NBA. People were, they were going to strip clubs. the fact that they overcame all that and gave us a complete season, playoffs, Super Bowl. I think it counts more because they had to go through more to get to it.
If you're going to be a true champion, you have to handle adversity much better than your opponent.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, if you're dealing with the same adversity, you have the same choices. You have the same arena. It's like that's like almost like if you're watching a game and it's raining and you say, well, that team won because it was raining. Well, then you're
basically... It was raining for both teams. It wasn't raining on offense, but the defense had a typhoon.
That would only happen if the Chinese government can actually control the weather, and every time you see them play soccer in the World Cup, there's rain following the opponent like a fucking tornado.
It's like a those cartoons where that cloud follows somebody and the struck lightning.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be fucking good. Well, yeah, I mean, I'd like to see Tampa. I'd like to see Brady win for that reason. I'd like to see him win just because of that reason. Hey, everybody thought I was not going to do it. I went to Tampa Bay. You know what I mean? But I was rooting for Cleveland Browns as an underdog. I like that quarterback, and I like his he does what he wants. I like that persona of a court. Like, fuck you. You know what I mean? I'll do what I want kind of thing.
So Brady wins this. Already the greatest quarterback of all time. Greatest player of all time if he wins this.
I think it's hard to compare because, I mean, just the skill set's so different. So, I mean, I think when you talk about greatest of all time, it's got to stay in their lane. You know, I mean, I think you could definitely have the conversation about him being the greatest quarterback of all time because, I mean, he's been the gatekeeper of Super Bowls for his whole career.
Who would also be in that room, the greatest of all time? Who would be the five greatest football players of all time? Johnny Unitas?
I'd put Jerry Rice.
Yeah.
Jerry Rice.
I mean, you're going old school. You're going like, you know, Johnny Unitas.
Walter Payton.
Walter Payton.
I think. Yeah.
Walter Payton.
Or Barry Sanders.
I go between
Sweetness and Barry Sanders a lot because Sanders was, and I love Barry Sanders because, man, every time he got in the end zone, he just handed the football.
He just handed the ball to the ref. Yeah. God, I love that.
He was. Awesome.
That's the only, I mean, I live in Texas, but I'm a Detroit fan. I grew up, I'm a Lions fan. And Sanders was the only ray of sunshine for that
exactly.
short period of time.
Yeah. It's like dating an ugly woman with nice breasts. or vice versa. She could be really ugly and have, I don't know. I'm not being misogynist. I'm a man. If I was gay, I'd be like dating a guy. You know,
with nice balls.
With nice balls, but a little dick. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I'm just trying to be funny. Leave me alone. Any rate, by the way, everybody, it's that time. It's time for the news is a joke. That's right. That's where we make fun of the news, everybody. Chuck Schumer made it easy today, or this week, when Chuck Schumer says Trump's incited an erection.
In his defense, there was a guy with horns that stormed the Capitol. So technically, he's not 100% wrong.
Yeah, there was some horny people.
Yeah, there were elections.
Yeah, right. And the thing about Schumer, what is he? Amy Schumer's uncle or some shit like that? He's related.
Yeah,
to
isn't that the relation? Yeah, it's some relation to Amy Schumer.
But that guy. I mean, I've never seen his, I love the look. He's always looking down. You know what I mean? He's like a guy who's he's in love with his own penis. He has to keep, you know what I mean? He's got to see where, and the eyeglasses and the fucking forehead, which you could play racquetball up against. It's just to me, you know, and he had that little laugh when he did it too. He went like,
He realized what he did.
Yeah.
That was, and he's like, he basically said, fuck, this is, what's that one Simpsons where Principal Skinner is addressing the kids and he messes up and he goes, oh, I've lost them forever. And that's it. It's like, he goes, this is going to be around forever.
Great show, man. yeah, as Schumer corrected himself, one could see the moment he realized he'd become social media fodder.
Yeah.
Well, too bad. It happens. Our next story, Jamie Lynn Spears. Miles was mentioning this earlier on the show. Called Tesla's quiet engines secret cat killers. And said Elon Musk owes her some new pets. Elon Musk owes me some pussy. And before walking back her comments, she has since deleted. You guys ever deleted comments you posted on a social
media? Wait a minute. Are you saying she was pussyfooting around her comments?
Hold on a second. I got a fucking...
That's Jack's Joke Shack, everybody.
We'll be here all week. Try the veal.
Yeah, I've purged my my Instagram and my social and everything of any. I just give it to my wife and I'm like, hey, any of this going to get me canceled? She's like, this, and this. I'm like, okay, thank you.
Really?
So, I've deleted stuff. I think Jamie Lynn Spears, though, that was a situation where one of her friends had to just pull her aside and go, yeah, that's a thing cats do. they just kind of get in the motor. Because I had that when I was a teenager. I drove a truck. And I drove a truck across town hearing meowing the whole time. And then when I got to my destination, popped the hood, and there was a cat under the hood that had wedged itself and survived. But, yeah, that's a thing. Cats get up under there. So I think she was just rich and confused.
Well, she was actually claiming that because the engine, it's different. But that they're so quiet coming down the street that the cat doesn't hear it and it gets hit by the, you know, that was the
thing. That's not my problem. Yeah. That's the cat needs to look both ways.
Yeah. I think I hit a cat once when I was in high school. It jumped out from a garbage can, you know what I mean? And then you feel bad and you feel like shit, you know what I mean? Like, oh, what could I have done? Well, I couldn't have done anything. Goddamn cat jumped in front of the car. It's probably suicide.
I like that it's not that she needs to be a more attentive driver.
Yeah.
It's that it's the car's fault.
Yeah. Or, you know, it's actually, forget the fact that, you know, we're saving the planet. You know, there's no emissions from the car. It is quiet. So, you know, unfortunately, all you can hear is the kid behind you, living behind you, that's learning how to sing. That's my problem right now. My neighbors, man, the kids out by the pool. I'm trying to relax out by my pool, right, and shit. And all the kids singing the same song for 30 minutes. Actually, the same little chorus. I don't know what it was. Sometimes people need to shut up. You know, that's one of those
most of the time.
Yeah. Thank you.
Most rich people. Well, they don't know. They haven't experienced what we've experienced.
Yeah.
They haven't been a normal person for.
They haven't been a normal person for so long that they don't know what it's like.
Yeah.
And they think they're normal, but they're not. And then somebody has to say, you know, that's not. So with the store. So did the cat get up under the hood, or did she run over a cat?
The cat got run over. A couple of cats got run over. Okay. And then she was complaining that the car should have some sort of sound emanating device on it, which, by the way...
You mean like a horn?
Exactly. Or if it's that quiet, just go... Brrr, like, make the noise yourself.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, actually, the Tesla does have some sort of all electronic vehicles have to give some sort of sound for like pedestrians and shit too. So it gives out like a pitch sound where you'd be able to hear it. And a dog or a cat should fucking hear it. A dog would probably hear it. See, that's you don't hear about dogs getting run over by Tesla cars. I mean, which proves to pet owners that dogs are superior to cats. Sorry,
I've been saying it this whole time.
Yeah. So we agree. Learn what you're talking about, sweetie. This is a great story. Ambulance theft caught at a Texas drive-thru. Guy steals an ambulance, which I guess it's on his bucket list. And, you know, it's not like you're going to draw attention. You know what I mean? When you steal a car, you know, usually the highest theft vehicles are usually the most popular. They used to be like a Honda Accord. You know, it's just going to blend in. But I'm going to steal an ambulance. I was going to steal the Partridge Family bus, but I couldn't find the fucking keys. On January 22nd, while paramedics were at a call at a Jack in the Box. You guys like Jack in the Box?
Oh, my God. The tacos at Jack in the Box are the worst things in the world for you, but they're so good.
Yeah? The tacos?
Everybody's tacos. All about the tacos, yeah. Last year I had the tacos for the first time in my life, and I was like, okay, yeah, I get it.
Yeah. They're just, they look disgusting, but they're so good.
You can see them through the paper bag.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much grease, you can already see it through the bag.
The grease starts eating through the shell. Oh. That's how, yeah.
There's only so much time you got before it disintegrates. Honestly.
Oh, yeah, pretty, yeah. It's,
that's why
you're eating it with a... You're eating it with a straw if you wait too long.
Oh, my God. I introduced my wife to the Jack in the Box. She never had that before because I don't have them in Florida. So I used to get the old, you know, the what's the regular hamburger, which is usually their Jack special or, you know, I don't know, because that's, I'm like, I'm going to get that. You know what I mean? But I'm going to have to try the tacos. Thanks for the, but this guy gets it. And then he goes and he actually robs the ambulance. And then decides it's time to stop at the drive-thru at the fucking Jack of the Box.
With the lights on, no less.
Yeah.
Like, he's got the whole thing going. So he is not incognito at all.
Yeah, he thinks he actually thinks he's doing like he's what's that called? He's got TSA pre-check because he's got the lights on. Yeah. He's going right through the drive-thru lane. Get the fuck out of my way. I want my tacos. According to Houston police, Ronaldo Leonard, 36, was charged Thursday with a felony and being a complete idiot.
You think he left the lights on because he figured that would urge the drive-thru attendant to give him his food faster?
Yeah.
Like, he's like, it's an emergency. Come on. Like, look, the lights.
The lights are on. I need it. Maybe he was doing that hiding in plain sight deal.
Yeah.
Maybe, well, you know, if the lights are on, I'm in an ambulance. It's, maybe if I don't try to hide, people will accept. Because when you see an ambulance,
you think that guy's stealing that ambulance and getting a hamburger? Who would do that?
No, that never would enter your mind.
Who the fuck would do that?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Well, he did it and he got busted. I love this story because it's, you know, you know, there's these creepy fucks out there. You know, like, when, I mean, listen, I'm joking on the show, but we know who the creepy fucks are. Right, we have friends we know are creepy fucks. I have a friend I've known since I was a kid that I know he's a peeping tommer. I just know this guy. You know what I mean? Like, you ever, like, you know what I mean? It's a secret. You know.
Well,
friend,
I mean,
but
we've all been on the road. We've run into we've all run into creepy comics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most comics.
Yes. Besides us three.
Yeah.
All the rest of them.
The rest of them creepy bastards.
We're the three good ones, ladies.
Yeah.
But no, I run into a lot of creepy comics on the road. It's just like, okay, I'm scared, sharing the condo with you.
I'm going to worry about this again now. TSA agent convicted for tricking women into showing breasts. Come with me.
I gotta know, what was the trick?
Well, yeah.
It's like...
Yeah, did you write it down? He just,
because it worked. That was a good trick.
It turns out all you had to do was, ma'am, I need to see you, and spray some axe spray on him, body spray, a little axe body spray. And she just, all right, I'll do whatever you want. A former Transportation Security Administration agent who was accused of tricking travelers into showing their breasts went through security at Los Angeles International. He basically, some people said, like, he would come up and look down. One lady complained he would look down the shirt, down her bra. All right, you know, that's maybe she's hiding something. You know, maybe, who knows? You know, who knows? One guy put a bomb in his shoe. Who wouldn't put a plastic explosive, you know, in the boot and right next to the nice, right there next to the breast? So then he would say, okay, ma'am, you're going to come with me. And then he'd make women, like, pull their pants open, like, you know, they wear those sweatpants.
Well, isn't there...
He had to look down there to see if there was
isn't
any...
there female...
TSA
isn't
agents.
Isn't there female TSA agents for this sort of thing?
Scott, what are you
being? You always go into a room with a female, so what if you're a female and a male with a male?
What are you being, a cock blocker? Calm down here. The guy's trying to...
My question is more like, if he's got to use his eyes to look in the clothes, what's this giant machine back here for that I go inside and I do this? What are you looking for with that?
Yeah.
If this doesn't work... I don't know that I trust him eyeballing it.
I think he says, I have a keen eye, man.
If this doesn't work, and then this doesn't work, then you know what? Go over to Earl. Let him give you. Let Earl eyeball you.
Earl's got some special techniques.
He's got those X-ray glasses from the back of comics.
One particular woman said he escorted her to another. He was like, take her to a room. And when he was on the elevator, he said, look, just show me your tits right now and pull your skirt up, and I'll let you go. And she did, and he let her go. And he said, nice tits, by the way. And, you know, here's the thing. When you're in that type of position, is it ignorance that you don't think the person's going to go back and call somebody?
Stupidity.
Do you think it's an arrogance?
I think it's a combination of arrogance and stupidity.
They didn't have a picture of the guy. I wanted to see if there's a picture
of the guy. And maybe a little bit of, you know, he's got a little bit of power, just a little bit. He doesn't have a lot. He's got a little, so and he's going to use that little bit of power that he has.
So he's got. He's probably tall. He's probably a tall guy because tall guys get away with a lot. Yeah, Miles, how tall are you?
I'm 6 foot, yeah, but I mean, if he was that tall, I don't think he would have to ask to see their tits. Couldn't he just kind of like peer down? Yeah. Like maybe he was shorter and he had to be like, can I see, please?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe I'm six four. So
yeah, so see, I'm 5'9". So, you know, you guys, you know, so listen, give the short guy a break. And I'm telling you, if it was a short guy, if it was me, she'd be like, yeah, don't look at shit, motherfucker. Where's your superior? Where's your boss? I'm like, calm down, lady. I just try to do my job. You know what I mean? But one of you handsome fellas, like, oh, okay, you want to take me in the back room? But, you know, sometimes it may be a little playful. You know, maybe one of those ladies was thinking, hey, this could be fun. You know, I got an hour before my flight leaves. I don't know.
Why do you think get there 2 hours before your flight leaves? You got to leave time to be molested.
Yeah, Earl's got to see you. So there you go. Okay, this is a great story of where's your wife from, Miles?
Where is she from? Yeah, we're both originally from Northern California.
Northern California, American girl, good old American girl. And you ever been married, right? Scott, you have a girlfriend?
No, never been married.
Yeah, and you're single because you're the only single guy who could put Spider-Man cartoons on his fucking wall.
That's right.
And a Die Hard poster. There you go. And but yeah, here's a story about a Mexican woman. And, you know, Latin women are they're beautiful. They love you to death. But if you fuck up, confused, jealous wife stabs husband after seeing her younger self in the old photos. Now, a little bit of overreaction, Guadalupe. Turns out that she grabbed the phone from the guy. And, you know, one of the reasons I married my wife is because I had ex-girlfriends. The minute you walk out of the room, they'd grab your phone or they would look through your drawers, right? They like looking for shit. She never did any of that stuff. I mean, she wouldn't like grab my, you know what I mean? She said, if he messes, you know, she had confidence, right? She wasn't a snoop. But this lady snoops it. She goes, oh, look at him with this woman. Oh, this little mess. He's cheating. And then she grabs a knife and stabs him a few times. And then he grabs the phone. He's like, that's us, you idiot. This is from us 10 years ago.
Yeah, I guess it was because I told my wife this story and she was like, there's no way that's the whole story. He did or said something for her to go straight to stabbing. There's a piece missing. And I was like, maybe. But then I looked and it was like an old photo of them that used to be like a hard copy, a printout one. And it was on his phone. And so I guess that going from like, this is a photo that we have from our past, that's a hard photo, to seeing it on a phone. Yeah. She didn't make the connection. Still a stupid, very stupid and reckless mistake.
And also that means that he's aged gracefully and she has just aged horribly.
Yeah.
If he looks the same as he did 10 years ago and she does not.
That's the reason she's probably jealous and insecure.
That's it. She's pissed that looks like shit.
I'm sorry I keep eating tacos at Jackie in the Box.
Oh.
They're so good.
Like my ambulance?
yes.
I just got it for free.
Why'd you steal that ambulance? My wife stabs me when she sees pictures of herself.
Yeah.
That's why I've got the ambulance.
I lost a lot of blood going through our wedding album.
That's right.
Yes.
We're going to go through a photo album right now. Let me go get a gurney. You got to just chill out, man. Be careful with jealous people, man. Jealous people are no good, okay?
Is your wife jealous, Kyle? And she being a kickboxer and all that, do you have to worry about her maybe putting a move on you? Or
No, we're very open and honest about everything. So we're very upfront. And so, we're not jealous people. We're very trusting and understanding of the whole situation and everything that's going on. So, yeah, we're cool.
That's awesome. That's always good when you have that balance. You know what I mean? That's my wife and I got to that point where she doesn't worry about me cheating. I'm when I'm on the road. You know what I mean? Because she understands the only ass I'm chasing now is this comedy, you know, comedies, you know, I don't want anything getting in the way of that. I'm not have time to screw up and do all, you know, who needs all those distractions. Right. I want to make it to the playoffs. And I want to play against Tom Brady. Here's our next story. A couple accused of filming public sex at a Myrtle Beach attraction, a big old Ferris wheel, one of those big glass things. Not like, kind of like the one in Vegas, but this is not as big. Over in Myrtle Beach, which I'm excited because I'm going to be there in 2 weeks at the Comedy Cabana, Wednesday or Thursday through Saturday, something like that. Lovely room. And I think I'm going to go visit that Ferris wheel. Have you ever had sex outdoors? You ever had sex in public? You ever get risky and do things out there?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Where?
Yeah.
Yes.
I had sex, and it was ill-advised. It sure. was December, so it was winter, coming back from like a corporate event with this girl in Reno, Nevada. And so it was very, very cold. And she's like, well, let's just pull over here. And so we got off the freeway, and on this dirt road right on the side of the freeway, there was just this big rock. And so I was able to position her on the rock and everything. And so we just did it on the rock and got honked at.
Yeah.
The entire time as people were passing by and everything. So, yeah, that's
nice.
Oh, it was so cold.
Yeah. Well, congratulations for being so cold and be able to finish the task.
Thanks.
Yeah.
But my story is I was coming home from a gig, and this girl was blowing this guy on the sidewalk out into the, I think a transaction took place. And
well, obviously something's being transacted.
Yes, I don't think it was a tender moment between them. But he had his pants around his ankles, and it was like she was bending at the waist. And all I could think of was like, just use your knees. Don't bend at the waist. You're going to give yourself back problems. But it was out. They just didn't care. The guy just sort of gave me one of these. And look back, it was
What do you do in that situation? You like, do you sit?
I keep walking. That's what I just kept walking. That was it. So, yeah.
I mean, sometimes you got to watch. I mean, I remember one time.
No, these are two people you didn't want to. Yeah, you didn't want to see these two having sex.
I had three older brothers, and we had like a house, you know, like two bedrooms shared between four brothers growing up. So when I was in 9 years old, 10 years old, I used to watch my brothers bring girls home and bang them. You know, they're having sex like 5 feet from me. I'm like, oh, you know, I was a voyeur when I was like 9, 8 years old. Well, I had no choice. In college, I'm just chilling out, and my buddies, we had apartments on the beach in St. Augustine, really nice. And there was tourist people would come there, you know, spend the weekend in St. Augustine. And these four couples, like a swingers, we're in the hot tub, which is right in the middle of the quadrant of the condo. You know what I mean? It's like in the middle of the building, and everybody could see it. And there they are, all going at it like a porn. And I'm just sitting there, of course, you know, enjoying it like a perv. You know, what are you going to do? They weren't old. You know what I mean? You got to sit and watch from the comfort of my own home, by the way. But this happened in Myrtle Beach, and they were in that big Ferris wheel having sex in there, and they actually put it on a porn site. So that was pretty, that's pretty good.
That was nice of them.
Share the moment. Yeah. I think that's hot. My wife and I had sex in a public restroom one time. And, people are, you know, you can hear them coming in, and we're trying to disguise our groans. You know. you're trying to blend in with the natural atmosphere.
Timing, dropping something in the toilet after a moan. So yeah.
Almost the same thing you do when you go in there doing cocaine. Was this way? It was the wrong story first. All right, let's do this one. Last story. Let's see. Yeah, we got to get going here. All right, this is great. You guys have good friends, right? Comedy sometimes. You guys have friends outside comedy. You're able to keep friends outside comedy. Is that possible? It's probably been easier this year.
Yeah.
Since we're home a little more than we thought we'd like. But it's a nice balance. But man shoots lifelong friend who came at him with a pitchfork. Known this guy since second grade. And he says, he came at me with a pitchfork, so I shot him.
So there's so many questions.
Mm-hmm.
What was the argument? Why did he have a pitchfork? Why did he have a gun? Where were they?
What's come at me? Like, was he pointing it? Did he run? Was he walking? Was there anything in between them? Like, I could come at me is so vague.
Yeah, was he singing a song from Hee Haw? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, who? It's interesting because he claims that he came at him with the pitchfork, but somehow during questioning, the police determined that
if you're two good friends, why does one have a gun and one have a pitchfork?
Yeah.
This doesn't just happen.
They're clearly not. They're not mentally equal. You know, one guy comes to fight with a pitchfork, and the other one brings a gun.
You don't bring a pitchfork to a gunfight.
I mean, in his defense, he just killed Frankenstein, like yes. 10 minutes yeah. before,
and he baled some hay. And
yeah,
you know what I mean,
his torch went out. It was dark.
Yeah, and he did. He did a great impression of Poseidon. Besides that, you know, have you ever been in a situation where a close friend got really violent, like you almost got into a fight with her, like fist fight with her, like because of somebody with a girl or some shit like that? With a really good friend, ever have a moment like that?
I mean,
I never have. Yeah. Not really, no.
Yeah.
What about you, Dougie?
I've never had anything break down. I've had people I thought were friends that, you know, that I just don't. That was it. Yeah, it was like, but never anything.
Oh,
like
that's
that.
Happened. But I got good lifelong friends, and we've had disagreements and all that, but it's never risen. It's never even risen to the fact where I was mad at him.
Yeah, and I'm thinking that if my friend came at me with a pitchfork and I had a gun, you know, even if, let's say, under that circumstance, like, you know, you think maybe he lost his mind. Was he doing bath salts? You know, what's going on? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But as they said, shoot him in the leg. But like you said, why they're holding pitchforks? Why couldn't they just both have nunchucks? You know, like they just made from their old tables. And they try to beat each other's ass with the nunchucks. You know what I mean? That would have been more pleasant.
They put such little thought into what was going to be the most entertaining fight to have that I'm mildly offended.
Yeah. These guys are a little crazy on the lopper. When these people with the fake swords and shit.
Yeah.
These guys are real life game players. Our last story, Oklahoma Bill, which will now establish a Bigfoot hunting season.
What's the season? Like, when's the best time to look for Bigfoot? What do you think? The fall?
I don't know. Bigfoot.
Well, he'll be hibernating. He'll be hibernating in the winter. So that's out.
You think?
I would say the spring. He comes out of hibernation. He's a little groggy. Doesn't really know what's going on. It doesn't have all his faculties. Doesn't have all his senses. I would say the spring.
I think so. If the law, it should go through, but it'll be effective as of November 1st this year. So that will lead into the, you know, at least you'll get, they got to get your license. You got to go actually to a place to go, I'm going to hunt Bigfoot. And then I'm wondering if there's any types of material that you would need to hunt Bigfoot. Like, what would be some of your equipment? Like, what would be some of the tools of the trade? You're going to get a big,
I mean,
you're going to get
beef jerky, obviously. Yeah.
But when you said Oklahoma Bill, I thought that was a guy. Yeah, welcome to Oklahoma Bill's Bigfoot Emporium. Yeah. You come on in and you shoot yourself a Bigfoot. You skin him. You take him home. He's yours.
Actually, Oklahoma Bill was an old wrestler from the Northwest who fell from a gurney jumping onto the ring. I don't know. Just
making oh, really?
No, I don't like it.
Oklahoma
Bill.
I would be interested to see if, like, there were any studies done on if, like, domestic violence in Oklahoma is going to go down because they're like, oh, well, he's just been Bigfoot hunting. He's getting all out there.
Yeah. Like, right? It's like the new Netflix and chill. Go bet Bigfoot hunting. So not now.
Bigfoot and hunt.
Yeah. I don't. I'm just wondering, though, like, can they kill Bigfoot? Are you giving these hoopleheads the chance to actually kill? Are you saying if you see him, you know, you could kill him? Just kill what could be the eighth wonder of the world. Could tell us more about our crossbreeding with the aliens. You know, we could find out all this information. We're going to let this guy go out there and hunt Bigfoot.
Wouldn't it be funny if just one guy got a license? It's Earl. Once again, Earl.
Oddly enough.
Earl with the good eye.
Yeah, they tried to scare the shit out of people by putting that jerky commercials that make it all better. I think that's what you should do. Maybe we should get like a woman Bigfoot outfit, like a woman Bigfoot, you know, a lipstick and fucking not fancy hair and a bikini and a Bigfoot outfit and then go walking around. We should video that as a viral video. We're going Bigfoot hunting. And she has a bag of cocaine in her hand and some ecstasy and some, it'd be fucking great. Maybe I just like
I think this is just a ploy to get men who are back on their child support.
Right?
It's like those are the guys who are going to apply for Bigfoot license. It's just like, okay. Bill Johnson, it was like they do that. I've seen that in a movie where that's like they hold autograph signings and they send, you know, they sent invitations out to these people who all owed money, yeah, and they came, they would arrest them.
Oh yeah,
I think this is one of those ploys. Yeah,
yeah, my money. All these guys show
it's
up.
It's a sting.
They're gonna count all the
it's
guys.
It's a sting. It's a Bigfoot sting.
It's a Bigfoot sting.
These are all the people that didn't catch in the Capitol. This is how they're going to catch the last few of them.
Yes.
That's brilliant.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Yeah. This is, we got one last chance to catch the rest of these guys. We're going to have a Bigfoot hunting contest. I can just picture some guy coming up with that big net, you know, like a big butterfly net. I'm going to capture Bigfoot. I'm going to put him in a fucking net. Any rate. Well, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I want to thank my guests, Miles Weber and Scott White, for joining us today. And you guys got some great things. You got, like you said, you got Brad Garrett this week, huh?
Yeah, I got Brad Garrett this week. And if you go to my website, milesweber.com, you can see if I got any other live things popping up in your area. And you can also check out my Dry Bar comedy special on there as well. So check that out.
Good stuff. Scott?
Yeah, and I'll be at Porky's in St. Cloud, Florida, first weekend in Florida. First weekend in February, sorry. And you can actually go to my website, scottyblocko.com. That's got my calendar and the links to all my pages, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all that.
Awesome. And this weekend I'll be at Vero Beach at the Comedy Zone. Two nights. And looking forward to it. And I said the week after, Myrtle Beach. I'm going to go have sex in a wheel in a big old fucking Ferris wheel. I just hope I hope I could find someone, because it'd be embarrassing if it's just a video of myself. You know what I mean? That won't go viral. Anyway, guys, thanks for joining us. Don't forget another big show next week. We'll be announcing the guests. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie and on our Instagram page at Wake Up Dougie Show. Follow me on my new Twitter handle at Funny Fiduciary. I got kicked off my old Dougie Dangerous one. Me and the My Pillow guy. We're not on Twitter anymore. Anyway, let's send it back to Chris in the studio. We ready to close this thing out?
Absolutely. You guys did another good one.
All right, guys.
Good night, guys.
God bless, guys. Take care, and we'll see you next week right here at the same spot.
Thank you, Dougie.
Thanks for having us.
You got it, guys.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Wake up.
Wake up.